Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and with all the world turbulence going on, with our good friend Janet Yellen giving her testimony on the Hill. With the grain markets not figuring out what the hell they want to do, I had to go out and get my man, Chris Robinson from Top Third Ag, but more importantly, a football player from Colgate, so we can talk some sports, too. What's up, Chris?
How are you, Bubba?
I'm good. So,
good.
Chris, you know, there's a lot of things going on, but you know, you and I believe a lot of things in similarity as well. We both believe that you have to hedge your portfolio, whether it be grains, which is your specialty, or whether it be equities, and one of the things I think that interesting things happened that this week in the grain markets, and take us through. I mean, I know you knew you're all over the story, well ahead of it. Take us through what you saw, because I know there was a USDA report on Monday or whatever. So take us through the whole thing of what you saw and what you were thinking and why you did what you did.
Well, you know, you got to kind of go back to where we were. In the middle of June, it was just a month ago, we had, especially new crop corn, December corn was down at a double bottom at 362.5 right after another USDA report. We were looking for the next report. A lot of farmers who are net long speculators or natural bulls, you know, they were getting pretty depressed. They had just watched corn, you know, take out key support. And, you know, we kind of hung around there for about a week. And then we started to get the reports that it was too wet. Too wet in Missouri, too wet, and it's been too wet in Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, okay? That's number one. But then the bigger thing is the funds. The fund money started to get long. They got out of their shorts. First they got out of their shorts. They were short 120,000, 130,000 contracts of corn. They started buying that back. I started talking about that, you know, as it was happening. Then we had the key USDA report just a couple days ago. But what set the stage for that really was everybody that trades grains always looks for what happens before and after the July 4th weekend. We won't home over the July 4th weekend. A lot of the rally had already come. We had a little bit of a correction after the July 4th weekend because we really didn't get any weather shocks and no big pit back in our crop condition reports. But then you saw the funds go on another buying binge. In 5 days, they just bought 5 days in a row, bought a lot of corn. At the end of the day, Bubba, the big thing is they went from, you know, back in June when they were short 130,000 contracts of corn, they're long 200,000 contracts of corn. That action there was huge. You throw in the rain. Yeah, the rain was kind of the story that they needed to do it. But the funds really went from being net short corn. They were short 100,000 contracts of beans. Now they're long 100,000 contracts of beans. And they were short 113,000 contracts of wheat. And now they're long 25. So why is that important? Well, you know, from a hedging standpoint, you got to pay attention. You know, we've got access to information 24/7. It just depends on what you like to look at, what you like to focus on. And I'm a big believer that the Commitment of Traders report is it's a free cheat sheet. You can see what these funds are doing, and if you're not paying attention to it, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. So at the end of the day, we had a big flip, and the funds flipped. If you add them all up, corn, wheat, and beans, they bought 700,000 contracts. That's 3.5 billion bushels. Now, part of that was the weather, but really, I think you've got to attribute a lot of that to the fund, the money flow, and now they're long. And now we're going to head into the rest of the summer, and we're going to see. You know, if they get a bullish story, they're going to get paid. But what I've been telling my producers is, and even my speculators, if these guys are long and wrong, do you want to be on the other side? You know what I mean? I mean, where are they going to go if they have to flip and get short again? What would that do to these markets? So it's setting us up for great opportunities, not only for trading and specs, but if you're a producer, you know, like I said, a month ago, you were at five-year lows. The corn went from five-year lows to one-year highs in 22 trading days. Okay, it gained 25% of in value in 22 trading days. That's a big move. Soybeans picked up $1.50 again from a 5-year low to about an 8-month high we saw. And I'll finish up that big long epistle with this one warning. December corn made a new high for the move yesterday, okay? And then it actually happened in the overnight markets. And then at the end of the day, we settled lower than Monday's low. That's what they call a key reversal. Now, it doesn't always work, because if it always worked, all you'd need is technical analysis and you'd be a multimillionaire. But it is something that a lot of traders look at, and it's a sign that possibly, at least for the time being, the top is in. So at the end of the day, that was a big, long road trip. But I think you've got to look at the fact that a lot of this rally, if I can drive home one thing, it's really been money flow. So
we like long-winded stories, and we like road trips. It's all right. But we've only had 400 key reversals in the S&P and in the Dow over the last 7 years, and not one of them has paid off. So,
that's right. Not one of them has paid off. That's right.
Okay,
and look at the cattle. You know, last year in the cattle, we had about 17 key reversal days where guys just got bludgeoned to death trying to step in and sell it. So, you know, like I said, it doesn't always work, but, it's something to look at. And especially in a market like the corn, wheat, and beans, it's, they call it a niche market or a boutique market. I mean, it's a small, relatively small market. So when the funds, buy a bunch of grain, they can really, really have an impact. Because the other side, who's going to be the other side? Farmers hate to sell on rallies. They hate to sell on breaks. Farmers hate to sell. The other people that are taking the other sides are the commercials. So you're looking at the ADMs, the Bungies, they're taking the other side. So it's kind of like watching a giant soap opera. We'll see who's going to be right here, 6 weeks from now. I think really by the end of September, we'll have a much clearer picture of what's going on with these grains.
Well, I will say this, okay, that I was long grains. I said to be long grains from...
Yeah, you did.
From 360, 370 in corn, from $9 in soybeans, and originally $5 in wheat. Okay. Now, I also said that I'm not bearish those markets, but if you're trading, and you might look for an opportunity to sell and try to trade the market. But as you mentioned, first of all, farmers by nature have to be bullish. We agree on that, right?
Oh yeah, they're natural bulls. They're the most optimistic people on the planet. And honestly, you'd have to be. If you're growing out and it's going to cost you $500 an acre to plant a crop, and you're going to plant whatever, if you're planting 200 acres or you're planting 20,000 acres, you're making a big downstroke. And the way you're going to get paid is higher prices. So yeah, you've got to be a bull.
I mean, you got to be a bull, because otherwise, why would you buy new tractors? Why would you buy new gears? Why would you have a farm? And why would you want to why would you do any of what you do? I mean, it's a lot of work. It's hard work to be a farmer. Okay, I mean, it's not like it's glamour. I mean, you're out working your ass off all day long in the hot sun, and you got of course when it's raining, it's not sunny. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you have to be a natural bull, but. However, and I think one of the problems, and we're going to talk about this when we come back from the break, but one of the problems that farmers make is that they don't hedge their portfolio or their ground, because listen, owning the crop in the ground is the same as owning stock, okay? Except it's more like owning gold, because it's actually it's a hard asset, basically, at that time, because somebody's going to eat it. So at the point is, if they're not taking care of that particular spot, and if you get to a point where you start to say, it cost me, $4 an acre to get this in, $4 a bushel to get in, and it's now trading at $4.20. Well, maybe I want to make sure that I at least cover my cost. But you don't have to sell, and you don't have to go in the open market to sell it. You just have to learn how to hedge it correctly at that level, and then you put yourself in a great spot so that if it goes straight up, guess what? You get to make all the money going up, but you were protected, so at least you got your cost out of the product there. But we'll come back, because I'm gonna beat up on Chris all day today, because I just feel like it. So this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with my man Chris Robinson from TopThirdAg.com. He is actually an expert in this field, and also I'm really happy to know him, because he's an athlete from Colgate, played football, and if you see him, why he played football. He's a mean guy, but I love him anyways. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with Chris Robinson.
It's the time of the season.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Chris Robinson from TopThirdAg.com. Check him out. He is an expert in the hedging field. That's kind of what they do. But he's more importantly, he was a football player. And I love that about him. And of course, he tries to knock me around a little bit, but I'm faster than he is, so it's all good. But so, Chris, we went to break, and I said I want to ask you. So, what do you tell farmers? I mean, because we know they're bulls. I mean, it's like I said, if you're going to take the time and the money to plant and do all the grunt work that it takes to be successful, because again, it ain't an easy job. What do you tell your guys? What are you having your guys doing? And what are some of the strategies that you use?
Well, the number one thing is you have to have some sort of risk management. Now, if you're a perfect market timer, which I don't claim to be, some brokers claim to be, then you hedge yourself with futures. There are times when futures make good sense, especially if you can do a basis play or something like that. But 9 times out of 10, your average producer, they're much better off by using a put option. Put option is a substitute sale. It's a paper sale. It gets your risk out of the cash market, okay, and onto paper, which is where you want it to be. Now, the one thing that the rub against using options is, well, it can't do too much for your basis risk. That's why, you know, with our clients, we always have them keep track of their local basis. I've got clients all the way in Colorado, and I've got clients in as far away as Maine. Their basis is different. The closer you are to the river, your basis is better. If you're close to an elevator, you know, your basis can be better. So that's on an individual business decision. The guy's got to know what his basis is. And if you don't know what basis is, real quickly, it's the difference between what your local elevator or what your local
what your
versus what the board is. So that's big right there. You gotta pay attention to your basis, and then the flat price is just what we can help you manage, and we do that 9 times out of 10. We'll do with options, number one, and number two, you know, we can help guys decide that it's time to go ahead and move some grain. Farmers hate to sell grain. They always think that as soon as they sell, it's going to rally another 40, 50 cents. So that's what we do for guys. We try and help take out the emotion because, let's face it, you've been trading a long time, so have I. There are times when your emotions can get the better of you. So it's good to work with somebody that can tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I know you're emotional about this, but in our opinion, you should do this. And so we can help them better time their cash sales. And that's really what it comes down to. We want to keep the upside completely open. We don't believe in buying puts and selling calls, because what happens then is if you sell a call and the market explodes higher, you're making margin calls and you're gumming up the works. You know, you had a great idea, which ends up hurting you. So that really is in a nutshell. Making good cash sales, managing your bottom line risk, and paying attention to your basis. Those things can help a farmer do a much better job of hedging, as opposed to just, you know, a lot of guys just wake up in the morning and are like, well, I got to pay some bills, I'm going to sell some grain. You know, that may have worked, you know, 50 years ago and even 30 years ago when the markets had 10, 15 cent ranges for months at a time. But when we're moving $1.50 in 22 days, when we're moving 90 cents in corn in 22 days, that type of strategy can cost you a lot of money.
Absolutely. And you know, again, I think the problem is the education of the producer, the farmer, because, you know, you are up against, and you mentioned it earlier, but you're up against the big funds, and they're pushing it around one way or the other. And one of the problems with that is we all tend, I don't, but people tend to get caught up in that move, and really they're just pushing money, and sometimes they're pushing product, but basically they will make a lot of big moves. But where you have to really understand is where the key spots, based on technical analysis, because we know what the fundamentals are. I mean, right now we know. I mean, and when you look at it, Chris, how much more bad news for the producer could they possibly get right now?
No, it's really hard. We've got the dollar near 12-year highs. You know, it's not quite at par, but it's certainly flirting with it. That's number one. That makes all of our exports less attractive to somebody else. I mean, look at our wheat. People always talk about the condition of our wheat. But this last report, Bubba, you know, we have the worldwide stocks are the highest they've been since they've kept track of that statistics. So there's more wheat out there than there's been, you know, since they started keeping records, you know, 20, 30 years ago. on what these USDA reports. That's huge. So what happens is a lot of times farmers, you know, they market out of their own backyard or what they see out their kitchen window. You got to recognize that it's a worldwide market, and so that's why when you get a $1.50 rally in wheat in a market where there's a ton of wheat out there, and our wheat, the U.S. wheat, is the most expensive in the world. If you don't do something, if you don't either sell some grain or you set yourself some hedge, I think you're just being, not only it's great to be bullish, but you're being stubbornly bullish, and you're not protecting an asset. Now, you know, every time 5,000 bushels a wheat goes up a dollar, you just made $5,000 on paper. You know, so if you've got, doesn't matter if you've got 5,000 bushels of production or if you've got 5 million bushels of production, that's money, that's an asset, and you need to manage it. And that's really what it comes down to, and that's what we try and work with our guys. And it's a learning experience. You're absolutely correct, Bubba. It's a learning experience, and you've got to be with somebody who knows what they're doing and understands how to hedge, and number one. And number two, doesn't blow smoke and tell you just what you want to hear. There's a lot of guys out there that only give the bullish story because that's what farmers want to hear.
Right. And of course, it's very common. But let's relate this to something. Let's relate it to sports. You know, every football team has a game plan. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. The good ones.
Well, yeah, and every game, and not only do you have a game plan to start the game, because you watch film of your opponent, so you know what can happen, right? So you're looking at history to prepare for the future. Would that be correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, everybody's, that's all we can base what we're looking at heading down the road. And you're right, you have to have a game plan. And then, obviously, if changes happen during the game, you've got to be able to make adjustments.
So if you relate that, because you are a football player and, you know, to play it at that level, okay, I mean, you have to be awfully damn good to play at that level. They don't let anybody walk in off the street and play at that level of football. Would you agree with that?
If you're playing Division One or higher, yeah, then you had some skills.
Okay, so don't be modest. Sure, you got some skill. You got skills in trading, and you got skills in football. That's all right. You don't have to be modest
That's
on this
right.
show. You can brag about yourself a little bit. So, all right. So now at halftime, what does the coach do at the half?
You break down what you can break down. And nowadays, I mean, they're taking real time films, so they'll break down films with the video, and then instantaneously, you know, go through and make adjustments. And, you know, 30, 40 years ago, they would do it with a pencil and paper or a chalkboard. Now they do it with a laptop or, a handheld device where they can actually physically show this is what's happening and this is how we can make adjustments to it. And I think that there's a correlation there between trading. Like I said, 30, 40 years ago, very few people even paid attention to charts. You know, one of the first guys that I read about in Market Wizards, if you ever get that original book, Ed Sakota, you know, nobody was even charting, you know. And we've gone from that in the 70s to now, where you have instantaneous charts and you have high-frequency traders and you've got algorithms, and these guys spend $500,000 a month on computing to adjust their programs. And so it's become extremely competitive, where 30 years ago it really wasn't. 30 years ago, if you knew what the Black-Scholes model was, which is for options, you know, you were head and shoulders above everybody else. You were the man with one eye in the land of the blind. I mean, you know, that's all. That was a huge edge, you know. And even up to about 15 years ago, there was an edge to being on the floor because you could see the order flow. Now, sitting in front of a screen with these electronic markets, you don't know if it's a real market. You don't know if it's a black pool, or if it's one of these things where they put it in two contracts at a time. You don't know. So the market's gone from being kind of transparent. It used to be transparent. I call it kind of invisible now. You just really don't know what's there. And because of that, I think especially a producer or a farmer, if you're spending, you know, 12 hours a day working on the farm, do you really want to come in at lunchtime and try and figure out what's going on the screen? And I would argue that that's impossible. Where 30 years ago, you might have been able to do it. But today, with the way the markets are, and you're absolutely right when you said before that, you know, it's just the fun. Sometimes we're pushing products, sometimes we're pushing money. And this, what we saw here in the last 22 days, was a great example of kind of a perfect storm where you had a bullish weather story, and you also had the fund to decide to get long. And, you know, it took us from five-year lows to one-year highs.
Hold that thought. Five-year lows, one-year highs. Hold that thought. I'm with Chris Robinson, formerly of Colgate University, but actually been on the floor for about 20 years. My friend, and he does try to take advantage of me and knock me around a little bit, but again, I told you I'm fascinated. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwanted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Chris Robinson. So, Chris, we were talking about the wild 22 days. And of course, markets have changed. Markets themselves have never changed. Technical analysis has never changed. But sometimes the speed at which things change has changed a little bit because there is more accessibility now with computers and everything else and the way that the models are built, that we can be faster and have more executions. And you do have a lot more commercial involvement and a lot more, a lot of different things happening. So these kind of moves do happen. They might have taken longer, but markets are always the same. And we always hear the same stories in the grain markets, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's supply and demand. But the problem is the process of price discovery, which is, I put that in quotes, price discovery. You know, that's where every buyer and every seller butts heads. I mean, for every winner, there's a loser. And every day, you know, when the markets are trading, you've got price discovery, and price discovery can be violent. And you see that. You know, we have 20, 30-cent swings during a day. Sometimes we'll have 40-cent trading ranges during a week, and we'll end the week only 2 cents higher or lower than where we were at the beginning of the week. So that process of price discovery is, I would compare that to you know, being on an athletic field. I mean, it can be very, very violent.
No, I agree 100%. And so when you talk about, now do me a favor, that's a term I use often here on the Bubba Show, price discovery. Let them hear it from somebody else. What is price discovery? Explain it to me.
Well, it's exactly that. I mean, you have an open, now granted, it used to be open outcry with human beings, but it's still the same process. It's an auction market. Every buyer and every seller comes in at the same time and has the right to discover prices. So literally, you know, you don't know what the price is going to be until everybody lines up and the buy orders are matched with the sell orders. And, you know, during a day, the market can go through very big trading ranges. And really, the nice thing about these markets is they're highly regulated. It's a standardized contract, so you know what you're dealing with. It really was the original derivatives market. And because of that, because of price discovery, a producer or an end user has a way to lay their risk off. And that's really, you know, why this place came to existence, you know, the Board of Trade, and why it continues to be in existence. It's a method for, number one, price discovery. So we know at the end of the day, every day, what 5,000 bushels of corn's worth You know, it's nobody's opinion. If the buyers and the sellers got together, it's not somebody in Washington setting the price. It's not like, you know, Soviet Russia, you know, back in the 50s where, you know, they just say, okay, a loaf of bread's going to cost X. And that's the beauty of a free market. Now, the flip side to that is price discovery can be kind of a scary thing, especially if you're on the wrong side, you know. But at its purest form, that's what's going on when these markets are open. Every buyer and every seller, everybody has their opinion. And that old expression, put your money where your mouth is, people do that every day. It doesn't matter if you're a producer, a rancher, or if you're you're Pillsbury, you need to buy corn, or if you're ADM and you need to sell corn, you all get together and we find out what the price is. And then we shut it down for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then we turn it back on again. So it's a never-ending process. And
every day the price can be different.
I think it's the greatest thing ever. And it doesn't matter what somebody's opinion is. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. It doesn't matter what President Obama's opinion is. It doesn't matter what Yellen's opinion is. It doesn't matter what Vladimir Putin's opinion is. The price is the price, and it's been discovered through every buyer and every seller having a shot at, you know, putting their money where their mouth is.
You are a smart guy. See, no wonder you went to Colgate. All right, so so we look at it, and we got price discovery, and of course, price discovery changes every day. I mean, you know, if some days corn's worth $4.50, some days it's worth $4. It doesn't matter. It is the market discovering price. It's where the exchange of wealth takes place when a buyer meets a seller and they swap money for goods. Now, price fixing. We know that it's illegal, but it has happened in history a couple of times. But it's very hard to price fix something that you don't have 100% of control of. So we don't necessarily worry about that. There's always a case of things like that could possibly happen. But when we look at the overall markets, Chris, when we talk about, you know, things that are going on right now, and I look at, you know, the markets, and which is why I've been bullish all along. And I actually had one guy call me up on the phone. I was on RFD TV, and I said, you know, when beans were down about 9.10 or 9.20, I said, you got to be a buyer. I said, if you're a seller here, you're making one of the biggest mistakes in your life. And not because they couldn't go lower. Okay. Never. Listen, I don't know which way they're going for sure. Okay.
Right.
But if you're playing a price discovery, but also a mathematical model, I mean, at some point when you get down to those levels, you know, are they going to zero? Are we going to quit eating? Is there going to be no longer a need for these products? And of course, I say the answer is no. I think we're going to always need these products. So even if it was going to be a quick, sharp bounce, I didn't think for the producer nor an investor that being short at those levels was good. I thought that the better trade was to be long. Now, fortunately, in markets, you can get out, and sometimes you have to discover price lower and take your losses. But when you look at the math model, the mathematics of it all, there are certain price points that you have to make a decision. Well, where's it going to go? You know, I bought corn in 99 at $1.80. Okay. Now, look, at $1.80, if it's going to zero, okay, we're going to not eat corn anymore. So I'll take my chances here. But I figured the rally would come. And of course, the other thing I'm looking at here, and I want to get your opinion, is the actual general news. Now, let's forget about the weather right now, because we know weather's always an issue, and whenever it rains on LaSalle Street, there's always a problem. But, right? But we look at the overall model, though. You know, now, these prices are probably a little bit, you know, not frothy, but not as good as a value. But when they were pounding them down because of the weak dollar, the strong dollar, because of all the other global economic news, and I'm going, well, yeah, but all the news is not, everybody knows what the news is, and they're not going down anymore. They stopped going down. So they can't discover a lower price right now. So wouldn't it be a better advantage to step in and buy here? What do you think?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, we had a marketing plan for this year. We had made sales actually for 15 crop last summer. We had been about, at the contract close, we had been about 30-40% sold already of guaranteed bushels. Now, we did not know that the bottom was in. We thought it might be. I mean, everybody has an opinion. So what we did on those bushels that we had sold, we bought really cheap calls. I mean, and I had guys say, no, I've watched on TV, you know, corn's going to 260 and beans are going to 8. I don't want to buy calls yet. Just buy me more puts. And that, to me, was also a good sign, because when somebody who's very tied up in the markets and is very emotional about it, i.e. a farmer, when they get extremely one way or the other, when they're very, very bulled up, then you want to be kind of, you know, that's when you want to be...
You want to be bearish. Spit it out.
When they get very, very negative. They were so negative. Guys were so negative. You know, and there's the old expression, you know it as well as I do. You sell it in the hole. And then I guarantee you out there, some farmers across America sold grain. They sold 360 corn, and they sold $9 beans. They didn't re-own it. And then they watched it rally, and now they're kicking themselves. So from a risk management standpoint, if you had made those sales, if you were convinced that corn was going to $2.50 and beans were going to go down to $8, fine. If you make the sales, fine. Turn around and re-own it for very, very cheap on paper so that if something like this happens 22 days later and we're $1.50 higher in beans and we're 90 cents higher in corn, you're not kicking yourself. You kept yourself in the game. And again, we get back to that sports analogy. You got to stay in the game. You got to manage your risk. And you've got to take your emotions and put them on the shelf.
Absolutely. Look, Chris, I could not agree with that more. And, you know, we had the old expression when I first started trading, if you could see somebody's tonsils, give them whatever they want because they're wrong.
That's right.
Well, you know, look, what do we know for sure about any market? And it doesn't matter. See, this is the beauty of trading, and this is the beauty of investing, is if you know how to understand the certain dynamics of a market, which is price discovery, which is technical analysis, you know that eventually markets have to have directional changes. And we don't know when, but if we can always get a general idea. And part of the flavor of the month is when they get too aggressive on one side of the market or the other, typically they're going to be wrong, especially when they ignore price and time and they just either just buy for no reason or they just sell for no reason. Typically, those guys are going to be wrong and you're going to have a tremendous opportunity to see the other side. And that's where we often get what we like to call in the technical business a V pattern. And we saw kind of that a little bit in corn as they pushed them down like they were giving them away for free. And of course, they turned around and went right back up. But of course, that goes for every market, whether it be the grain market, whether it be hogs, cattle. Hey, it does not matter.
You just saw it in the hogs.
Yep.
You just saw it in the hogs on Monday. You know, we went down and cleaned everybody out. The last person sold, and we've turned around and moved sharply higher. Now, is the low completely in? No, but it looks like that low is going to be some level that you, if you are looking to buy it, that's sort of, you know, your touchstone. And that's what technical analysis can give you. It can give you a reason to get into a market. And then now once the position's on, you've got to manage it. I mean, I would say that managing the position is 90% of being successful. I don't care if you're hedging or if you're trading or whatever you're doing, because no matter what position you have on, you're going to take heat. And by take heat, I mean it's going to be a loser at some point, and you're going to have to reevaluate. Am I comfortable with this position? And so technical analysis, big blow-offs like you just talked about, they just represent opportunity.
Right. And again, that's always the most important thing is forget about the news. Forget about everything. You guys know, especially, again, you producers, you know what the hell's going on in your firm. Okay, if you're having troubles and the markets are not going the right way you think they should be going based on what you're seeing yourself, it's something to look at. But again, it comes back to look at the technical analysis because that'll tell you where the price should be trading, and then you can base your decision based on that. We are with Chris Robinson from top3rdag.com. Check him out. The guy's a pretty smart guy. Colgate. I went to the school of hard knocks. But anyways, we're going to come back. We'll come back with the last segment with our man Chris Robinson from top3rdag.com. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Chris Robinson, top3rdag.com. Very knowledgeable, extremely bright, understands the markets, which is, as he showed you, with price discovery. All those things are important. But, Chris, we haven't talked, you know, equity markets. And I know you don't cover them as a rule because that's not your main thing. But you obviously watch them, and they have the same dynamics as grain markets, as any market. Every market is the same. There's price discovery. There's a technical pattern that you're looking for. And tell us what you're seeing in the Dow or in the actual equity markets right now.
Okay, well, just to to preface that, I started in the grains, but then in 99 when the Board of Trade got the Dow contract, I actually went in there and kind of went in there on a whim, ended up staying there for about 7 years, and then went back to the grains. So when that market was a true open outcry market, and you had the Dow Jones being spread against the NASDAQ, being spread against the S&P, that was a great place to be. So I traded the Dow every day for about 7 years. And I loved it. If they ever turned it back on again, I would get back in there tomorrow, because it's a very volatile market. It's a very technical market. And so we'll pull a card over here to the side and take a break. What's the Dow been doing? For 7 months, it's been a basically a 1,000-point trading range. Now, that sounds like a lot, but when the Dow's at 18,000, a record high, 5% is 900 points, okay? Now, most people don't realize that that's the percentages that are more important than the actual flat price change. So I always laugh when, you know, you and I both laugh when the people get upset about a 200-point, 300-point move. Well, it's not significant when the Dow's at 18,000. Okay, it's just the same thing. A 50-point move in the S&Ps, when the S&P is at 2,000, it's not the same as when the S&P was, you know, half its value. So you've got to look at the percentages. And if you pull up a chart, we're talking about technical analysis. I mean, my goodness, if you had bought every time we had a 5% break and sold every time we tested 18,000 in the past 7 months, you'd have made about 37 round trips. I mean, you could have made a fortune, right? If you had known that you couldn't lose by doing that. And that's what the market's been doing for 7 months. We've been trying to break out. Just last week, we were down at lows and concerned about the whole Greece thing, concerned about China. You know, China had a big correction one day and then rebounded the next day as soon as the Chinese government said, guess what, you can't sell your stocks for 6 months. So, you know, when the government tells the people that they can't sell their stocks for 6 months, what do? They bought more. They just doubled up. So that volatility gave great opportunities again. But if you got too emotional, if you said, oh my God, it's just broke 700 points, I got to get short, you know, you had your head chopped off, because it came right back in your face. We went down to 17.3, or right back to 18,000. We may do that six more times between now and the end of the year. Nobody knows. And that's the last thing I want to say is nobody really knows. Anybody that tells you what anybody that really knows, you know, why would you tell anybody if you knew where the high was and where the low was?
Wait
you
a
just,
second,
you
that's
just retire.
That's my you've been copying off my notes again. I can't believe it. No, it's funny that you say that, because I always tell everybody if I knew for sure, I wouldn't tell anybody. I wouldn't even tell my kids. I'd leave it in my will. That would be it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, but the real funny thing is that, you know, you mentioned this, and this is an important point. You know, a 200-point move in the Dow, 18,000, just walk it down to an $18 stock. It's 20 cents. Would you get excited about a 20-cent move in a stock and an $18 stock? No. And here's one other fact. This is a fact. The market is in the tightest consolidation range it has ever been since the year 1900. So 115 years, this is the tightest trading range you've ever had, even with the 200 or 300-point moves up and down. So don't get yourself in a tizzy when you look at this. Understand the technical analysis as Chris is so eloquently explaining, but also understand that, you know, markets go up and they go down, and you can't worry about fundamentals, because quite frankly, Chris, what do you think of the overall fundamentals of the stock market right now from your point of view?
Fundamentals, actually, you know, it actually looks pretty good. I mean, the earnings are pretty decent. I mean, they've squeezed out every excess employee that they ever had on the planet. I mean, you look at the quit rate. You know, people talk about the unemployment rate. Look at the quit rate. People do not quit their jobs. They're still feel blessed to have a job. And I think the market won't really be healthy or ever get frothy again until somebody feels comfortable quitting. And people talk about, you know, the non-participation rate, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of the day, I think the companies are pretty healthy. The banks are certainly healthy. They've been helped quite a bit with 0% interest rates.
Can I cut you off?
They're sitting on a ton of money.
I got to cut you off. I got to cut you off before you get too involved in this, because I got to get my opinion before I run out of time. I think the fundamentals suck. And all we have is stock buybacks and merger and acquisitions. We're not creating any jobs. The middle class is still in a recession. They have not benefited one iota from this overall overpriced stock market. And I don't think the fundamentals at all support this market. And I think that's why we're making this. This is going to turn out to be, and I don't know when, but it's going to turn out to be probably the biggest bubble in history, because they're forcing everybody.
I agree. I'm just saying, you know, I agree with exactly what you said. That was going to be my counterpoint, where certain things look really good.
Go make your counterpoint.
Overall, nobody's participated except for Wall Street, you know, and then that's not a good thing.
Right. It's never a good thing because, again, when you're being forced, this is almost, you know, we're not telling people they can't sell stocks. Oh, we did try that once before. But when you're forcing people to go to one market, which is really what they've done, right? I mean, basically.
That's what they've done. But the only game in town, the rest of the world, every time they run, they come here, they buy the dollar, they buy our stock market. And at some point, that's going to turn. I don't know when that's going to be. But if you look at the stock market at 18.2, you know, a 10% correction takes us to 16.5. A 20% correction takes us down to 14.5. So, you know, why couldn't that happen? Now, when it does happen, there's going to be 15 guys writing books saying, oh, you know, I called it up here, I called it up there. That's just hogwash. But when it comes, it's going to be painful. When you look at where we were in 08, 09 at the bottom of the panic, we were at 6,500. The Dow's gone from 6,500 to 18,500. You know, and it's all been because of 0% interest rates. There's no place else to go. The money comes in there, and at the sooner or later, there's always going to be the ultimate price discovery. People are going to wake up and say, really? Is Facebook worth all this much money? Is you fill in the company. Is this company really worth this much? I mean, the valuations of some of these companies now, it's making me think of back in 98, 99 during the tech bubble. I know we're not quite there yet, but all we need, I'll tell you when the top's going to be in, is when they put a cover story on Time Magazine or Newsweek saying, you know, these are the stocks you need to own, or it's on some bullish story where, you know, or if you get the politicians talking again about taking Social Security and letting people take some Social Security money and put it in the stock market. When the last bear gets bullish, that'll be the top.
That's never going to happen.
We're still climbing this wall of worry, climbing the wall of fear. But when the axe falls, it's going to be scary. And again, what can you do to protect yourself? Everybody's told buy and hold stocks, buy and hold stocks, buy and hold stocks. I wouldn't have any money in there that you're going to need to spend in the next 5 years. And every quarter, I mean, you look at what the S&P is yielding, 2 or 3% on the S&P, that's a great yield. If the S&P got cut in half and it's still yielding, 2 or 3%, or maybe it goes to 4%, that's a great yield. That's an argument for owning stocks. But if you're worried about the value of a portfolio going from 100 grand to 50 grand, what can you do? The only thing you can really do is take some money and every quarter buy yourself some deep out-of-the-money puts as your insurance policy and hope that they don't pay off. You know what I mean? But when the correction does come, you're going to be happy you had those puts on.
Just remember, those who ignore history will suffer from the repercussions of what happened in the past, because history always repeats itself, because for some reason we can't get it through our heads, and this time is not different. I have one disagreement with in the whole thing that you just said, and that is that I don't agree that this is like the internet bubble, only because those guys were going up on real popcorn air. But I do agree that this time will not be different, and the market will have another major sell-off, because that is exactly what's going to happen. And if you think it's not going to happen, just go back and look at history. You don't have to listen to me and Chris. Look at history. The market always melts down, and I traded through 1987. I traded through 1989. I traded through 1999. I traded through 2001, and I traded through 2007 and 8. So I'm just telling you that these things happen over and over again in every market. It does not matter, because there's always a story out there, as they say on Dragnet. There's always a story in the Naked City, and we're here to cover.
There's always a story.
Right?
So there's always a story in the Naked City, man. You're right.
Chris Robinson, Colgate University, but more importantly, topthirdag.com. He does a great job. He does understand it. And if you didn't get it, you got to check him out. And we're going to have him back again. Chris, thanks so much for being here, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob. Have a great one, man.
Our friend, Chris Robinson from Top Third Ag. And check him out. And that'll take us through today. And another great show. Glad you were here. This has been The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. You wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand. Oh.
Are you reeling in the east? Stowing away the time.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.